I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. This week's show, we're going to be talking about rent-to-rent, exposing the illegal grey areas. Anna, why do so many people think that rent-to-rent is illegal? And there are parts that can be, but there's parts of anything that can be illegal. You know, you could sort of say car washing, the illegal, and you could talk about stuff that was illegal. Or you could say, you know, going shopping, the illegal things. You could talk about stealing. Like, why is rent-to-rent got such a bad rep?
Well, I think the reason it's got such a bad rep is because you can't rent a house and then if you're renting it and just think, nah, I'm going to rent it to someone else.
No. And people get stuck in contracts.
Yeah. And, you know,
like we're talking to someone at the moment and they're in a long-term 2-year contract, which doesn't end until just over a year left on it. And they want to move out.
Yeah.
They can't just go, oh, well, I'll move out and rent it to someone else.
Yeah. And I'll just become the equivalent of the landlord. You can't take on a property as rental and then just decide, actually, I'm going to be the landlord of this property and rent it to Joe Bloggs down the road.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's seen as, because I suppose, can you do that? Of course you could do that, but obviously you're not allowed to. And that's why everyone's like, rent to rent. Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because what they're doing now is they're going to the landlord, asking for permission to see if he can rent it out to someone else or sort of take over the contract.
Yeah.
But you're kind of at their mercy a little bit.
Yeah.
This won't be able to happen once the new renter's rights come in. When the renter's rights come in, the tenant's got the ability just to move out. They will never be stuck in a contract. Do you think that with the new renter's rights bill, which by the way, we've talked about quite a bit on the show, and we're both not particularly against the renter's rights bill from a landlord's perspective. I know that a lot of landlords are scared about it. A lot of landlords are moving out. But do you think this is a golden opportunity for property entrepreneurs to take properties on either a rent-to-rent or even a lease option agreement from all these landlords that are scared?
You're going to have a massive increase now of properties that you can get your hands on and lease options.
I think it's a brilliant time to buy.
Yeah.
Terrible time to sell.
Yeah. But you always have the scaremongering and the panic people that just can't cope and just want out because they can't keep, you know, it feels stressful. So all new laws, forget it, I'm out. But it's the perfect opportunity to get in.
If I was chatting to landlords now, my question, if I was at a networking event, I would be going to a networking event and I'd be saying to landlords, which property is giving you the biggest headache right now? You know, or are you planning on selling any of your properties? Do you think it's a good time to sell? Why are you selling? Try to find out their situation, because if they're open to giving it you, if they're scared of renting it to a tenant on an AST, it's a brilliant opportunity to give it to you as a rent-to-renter. And you can make so much money from rent-to-rent. For those of you that don't know what rent-to-rent is, just in case people are like, what? Rent-to-what? It is where you basically rent
just
a property. Just a bit of
subletting.
Just a little bit of subletting, You rent a property off a landlord, and then you, for the sort of standard rent, as if they're renting it to a tenant.
Yeah.
But then you rent it out on a strategy that will pay you a lot more money. So normally it's HMO or serviced accommodation, or sometimes even social housing.
Yeah, true. Social housing is the new in thing, isn't it, really, at the moment?
Yeah. It's interesting. All these asylum seekers, do you know, they were getting all this stick for giving it to hotels.
Yeah.
They're now just putting them in normal flats. They're putting them in army bases.
They're always solving problems, aren't they, our government?
It's like...
In a housing crisis, they think, I know, we've got it.
The issue wasn't... The reason people are in uproar about asylum seekers being in hotels wasn't because they were going into hotels.
Yeah.
Like, that part wasn't the issue. You don't solve it
by now giving all the houses away when we're already short of houses.
It's like saying, oh, you keep blocking my drive with your Mercedes. And you go, oh, I'm so sorry. And then you park your BMW there instead.
Yeah.
It's like, the fact it was a Mercedes wasn't the issue. It was the blocking the drive that was the issue.
Yeah, we weren't offended by it being a Mercedes.
Yeah. Like... So, anyway. So let's have a little look there. So we know what rent-to-rent is. You rent a property off a landlord. You then rent it out. So a lot of people do this with serviced accommodation. It's probably my favourite strategy. There's less red tape. But let's have a look at some of the illegal stuff that goes on. So first rule, you've kind of mentioned it, subletting. So you are not allowed to rent a property from a landlord and then rent it out again as serviced accommodation. It's classed as subletting. And you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
It breaks the contract that you have with the landlord.
Yeah.
So why do people, how do you do it then? Why do people do it? Like, how, what's the, if it's illegal to sublet and basically rent to rent is subletting, how do you avoid this illegal trap? I've just put together a free training teaching you how to build wealth through property. I'm going to be breaking down the strategies that made me a multi-millionaire property investor and how you can do exactly the same. Link down below. Check it out. It's totally free. What are you waiting for?
Yeah, so actually, ironically, what we've just said, I said you can't rent a property and then rent it out. And then you went, well, what you do is rent a property and rent it out, which obviously is illegal, but you just use the right contract. So
exactly.
Yeah, on normal contracts, you're not allowed to do it because you're not allowed to sublet, but use the correct contract and you can.
Pretty much anything is legal with the correct contract.
Yeah.
But basically, what you're breaking, it's not like against the law to sublet, you're just breaking the contract.
Yeah.
Breaking the AST contract. So,
yeah, you're not going to prison.
No. You're not going to go to prison. It's like, well, what are you in for?
Ooh, subletting.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So,
well, I've not known it yet. Maybe they'll make an example of someone, so be careful.
Do you know what? They probably would.
Yeah.
They probably would.
If it was you, they probably would.
If it was Rachel Reeves or Angela Rayner, she'd be absolutely fine. If it was Russell or Samuel Leeds, it would be throw them in and throw away the key. Yeah, so you just use the right contract, company-let contract. So basically, you can then put in kind of whoever you want because they're renting it to the company, not to an individual.
Yeah.
Now, what this means is you are not a tenant, so you don't have any of the tenant's rights. So this is why it's very attractive to landlords to rent to a company rather than a tenant. All these tenants' rights. If you don't pay, they don't have to say, oh, well, we'll give you time.
Yeah.
Are you too much? It's just like, mate, you didn't pay. Get out.
Yeah. It actually really is win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, you broke the contract.
Yeah.
They can also put you in, and this is going to become really attractive as well, on a long-term lease. You could have a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year contract, unlike
now,
ASTs now, which are going to have like 2 month rolling.
So it's becoming more and more attractive for landlords that just want to get rid of their properties to do this on company lets and just think, rules out, not out the window, but all these stricter rules that are coming now suddenly doesn't apply to them.
Yeah.
And they can just be pass it off, but get you out if you're not paying rent or anything. So it's suddenly becoming very, very appealing for people to give their properties to others on rent-to-rent contracts.
Now, a couple of things you have got to bear in mind. As the landlord, you are ultimately responsible. Now, this is particularly important if they're doing it as a HMO. If they do a service accommodation, it's not so bad because the people that are living in the property don't have rights.
Yeah.
But think about it. If you've got a corporate let and your contract is with them, but then they're renting it as a HMO, how does that work? Because you could say, oh, I'm just going to kick them out, they didn't pay me. But the people that are living in your house are potentially on ASTs and do have rights.
Yeah, so can you might not be able to kick them out.
Exactly. So you've got a bit of an issue there.
Yeah.
And also, who's responsible? Is it you, the homeowner, that's responsible? Let's say, for example, and we'll go through some of the things later, but let's say they don't get the gas safety certificate done.
Yeah.
Who's responsible? Is it you, the owner?
Or is it
are you just passing the buck onto this person?
Say if there was like a serious incident and there was a fire and there was not the proper measures in place. Yeah. Who actually cops the...
So what are some of the things that are, I'm going to say illegal, in inverted commas, illegal, you know, maybe breach of contract, maybe breach the mortgage. Let's start with the mortgage, actually. One thing that I found really interesting is that 78% of viewers of this channel aren't actually subscribers. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes or any new property news, please do like and subscribe. It also really helps our channel grow. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Back to the show. So the first thing we need to look at is the mortgages, right? So like, have you got the correct mortgage in place? If you're the landlord, that's your responsibility, not the rent-to-renters. You need to make sure you have the right landlord. So there's normally, you've got residential mortgages or buy-to-let mortgages. If you're doing it as service accommodation, you might need to get consent to rent it out as service accommodation.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to get in trouble if you don't? Probably not. As long as you pay, if you've got a buy-to-let mortgage and you're paying it, You know, and I've spoken to brokers and they've gone, that'll be fine. As long as you're paying it and you, you're probably like, fine. Worst case, if they do find out, normally what they'll do is they'll say, oi, stop it. But it's possible they don't like you. They might say you need to pay the loan back.
Yeah.
Which would be a bit of a problem. And you need to get a new mortgage on it. If you could get one, you might have, it might then be terrible rates. They might use it as an excuse. If you're tied in on a low interest rate, they might use it as an excuse, right? So it's not, you're not criminally liable, but you potentially could lose the property over it, potentially. Yeah. So,
and it's always better just to play within the rules, isn't it? Why not?
Yeah. So I would say the landlord is probably at greater risk. But even if you're the rent-to-renter, if the landlord gets done for renting it out, if you've just spent a load of money renovating the property and the landlord's not done it right, oh, sorry, the mortgage company have told me I've got to stop now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's quite annoying. So
yeah, you don't want it to go wrong for the landlord.
No. Especially if you're spending money renovating. I mean, if you're not spending, if you're not renovating it and you're literally just renting it out as is, it's not too much risk. You put it on Airbnb, you put it on booking.com.
But normally, these properties always need a bit of doing up. Because if the landlord's got an absolute top nick, normally that's because they're an active landlord that probably wouldn't do it on a rent-to-rent. So you normally find rent-to-rent properties are a bit run down, and part of the appeal for the landlord is you're going to do it up. So like you say, you're taking a bit of a risk to plough £6,000-£10,000 into a place to then, for the landlord to go, oops, didn't get the right contract, sorry, out you get.
Yeah, so however you're doing it, you need to make sure the mortgage is right. Or whether you're the rent-to-renter or the landlord, definitely worth checking because it might get stopped.
Yeah.
If you don't get it totally right using a buy-to-let, you'll probably be okay, but you're taking a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
So worth bearing that in mind. All right, next is licensing. So if you've got a HMO, again, service accommodation is a lot easier, a lot less red tape.
Yeah.
Although we'll talk a little bit about London, which is a bit different. Yeah. So for HMOs, you're going to need to get a right license. If you've got 5+ occupants spread over 2 or more households, so the 5 people from the same house, you're golden.
Yeah.
If it's 2 households or whatever, and there's 5+ people, you're probably going to need to get a license. Have a chat to your council.
Are there many places now that don't have like Article 4?
Yeah, most places don't. But
Maybe it's all the places I looked at. I feel like everywhere does because the places I look always do. And I'm like, oh, everywhere's got it now.
If you kind of look at a map of the UK of Article 4, most of the UK is not Article 4. But most of the areas you'd probably want to put a HMO.
Like the cities.
A lot of the cities are Article 4.
Yeah, so that's why I feel like it.
So if you're in the Weir Midlands, right? Yeah. Walsall has got Article 4. Birmingham has got Article 4. Wolverhampton.
Yeah, because maybe the middle of the Peak District doesn't, but then who's going to live in a HMO there?
Yeah, you're pretty safe in the Peak District. No one's putting HMOs. But
mainly all the big cities now got Article 4.
A lot of the big cities have got it or part of it. So like, I think a lot of Birmingham is now. Birmingham sort of spread, but a lot of it is. So you want to check Article 4. You want to check the licensing. If you're not sure what Article 4 is, basically to turn a normal house into a HMO revolves changing the use. So a normal house, residential house, is classed as C3. A HMO is classed as C4. Now you're allowed to change it from C3 to C4 without needing planning permission, unless they bring in Article 4 in the area. There's different types of Article 4, but the Article 4 we're referring to is to stop you from doing that for HMOs, in essence, right? So a lot of areas that have got a lot of HMOs, the councils will go, we've got enough HMOs now.
Yeah, that's it.
We're going to make it Article 4. So you can still do it if you get planning permission.
So then it puts a lot of people off, doesn't it?
Yeah. The way around it is to go into an area where Article 4 is coming.
Yeah.
And then get in there first. So now no one can set up in competition.
Yeah. And if you do it before it comes in, you have the right. You haven't then got to, once Article 4 comes in, if you already run a HMO, that's absolutely fine. You don't have to then go and get a license.
Yeah.
You've beaten the rule. It's not like they go, right, everyone in the area. So that's great. So it's always good to get in there before Article 4 comes in.
Yeah. So who would get fined here? The rent-to-renter or the landlord? It's a little bit grey. The fine is up to £30,000 per offence. So if you're renting out a HMO without a license or in Article 4 when you shouldn't be, like, it's a pretty hefty fine.
Yeah, who's going to cop the bill here?
And it's a bit grey between who they're going to go for, the rent-to-renter or the landlord. Ultimately, you're kind of both responsible. Yeah. So normally the councils will go to whoever is easier to sort of track down. They normally start off with the manager. But ultimately, I don't know.
I think I would be more worried if I was the landlord, the mate, because at the end of the day, when you are the guy on the mortgage, you're the one that could lose the house. You're the one. I do think, even though you should both take responsibility and both, if you're normal people, I'm sure normal people would, I think you've got more to lose as the landlord, haven't you? Because if you're on the mortgage and they're kind of chasing you for money,
especially
and
the
fines,
renter,
and I think you are the one that could end up, like, if you haven't got the 30 grand.
Well, what the rent-to-renter will probably do as well is they'll probably set up a company for that rent-to-rent.
Yeah.
It'll be a limited company. And if they get stuck, they'll probably just close the company.
And go, sorry, I can't pay the 30 grand. Bye-bye. And then they'll go after the landlord who, worst case, they'll go, okay, well, we'll have it out the house then. Like, do you know what I mean? I kind of think they have got slightly more to lose.
I always feel like whatever happens, if it was me, I would be the one that copped it.
Yeah.
I've always... People that get away with it are people that don't care about having CCJs, and they're just like,
yeah, they go around with bad credit. And,
yeah, I got my credit. Whereas I, as a law-abiding citizen who's got assets, I would know if I was a renter, I'd get hit. If I was the landlord, I'd know the renter would get out of it, and I'd get hit.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I thought about that. I thought, I just feel like whichever way I'd pack. But yeah, that's why, because we don't want bad credit, but if you don't care, I suppose.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Go and do what you want. Break the law. Who cares? It's only illegal.
It's only illegal.
What are they going to do? Is this your Jay? That doesn't matter. If you care about stuff like that, make sure that you check that you've got the right licensing and not in Article 4. All right, next. This is an interesting one. Tenancy status. So if you do a rent-to-rent deal and you don't really check the contract properly, it's possible that they could get tenants' rights even as a rent-to-renter. With the wrong contract. And then you're going to have to evict them and go through the whole nightmare process that's involved with a normal AST. So
that
sounds good on paper, guaranteed rent, no tenants' rights. It's like, yeah, is the contract right here?
Yeah.
What I would probably do, I now do this for all my contracts. So I either get a lawyer to read them.
Yeah.
Or take screenshots of it. And whack it in ChatGPT.
Yeah, and see if anything silly comes up where they go, oh, be careful, it's got this in it.
Quiz it.
Oh, yeah, don't just be signing.
No. Worst case, put it in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Best case, speak to a lawyer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money, there's thousands and thousands of pounds potentially at risk here. So I probably would speak to a lawyer, but worst case.
Put it in ChatGPT.
Put it in ChatGPT, yeah. And say, look,
is there anything out of... like that you would flag up in this, and it should tell you, ChatGPT, but obviously it's not 100% reliable, and you're going to be kicking yourself, aren't you, if ChatGPT doesn't tell you, and then you've signed something that you didn't want to sign, just always got to be careful. You just never know, do you, what people might try and get away with or put in. Or
the thing is, you can run a rent-to-rent business. Like Premier Inn is effectively a rent-to-rent business.
Yeah.
They rent the property, they rent it out. There are companies that make hundreds, if not millions of pounds a year running off this business model.
Oh, yeah.
People often think of it as like a little shady. It isn't. But of course, there are people like that. But there's people like that in every industry.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just always the way, isn't it? When a big corporation does it, it's seen as just the done thing. When the little man does it, it's seen as shady and, oh, what's going on here then? Why are they doing that? Doesn't seem right. Just one person having a house, renting out. Oh, no. Oh, Premier Inn. Oh, yeah, solid. We all trust a Premier Inn. We all trust a Travel Lodge. It's suddenly totally acceptable then.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's just... you know, Dan down the road decided to, it just sounds a bit like, that doesn't seem right.
I would probably, if I was renting my property out to a rent-to-renter, I'd probably want to rent it to somebody who had got a few properties. I'd seen they'd done it before. I would feel more comfortable as well if they were renting it from, let's say they had all their rent-to-rents in their rent-to-rent business, rather than just like they were setting up a special business for me. So it makes it harder for them just to close it down if stuff goes wrong.
Yeah, and just disappear.
If that property doesn't make a profit, they could just go, oh, let's just close the business.
Yeah.
Whereas if they've got like 10 rent-to-rents and they're making healthy profit, I would treat it, when you're doing a rent-to-rent deal as a landlord, treat it with as much, if not more, scrutiny than when you're renting it to a tenant.
Yeah.
You are doing business with this person. Make sure you check the contract. Make sure you do your credit checks, your reference checks. So next, law four. So here are some compliance and safety stuff that you'd need to do and who's responsible. So gas safety check. That would be the rent-to-renter's responsibility. Yeah. They must ensure it's valid every 12 months and given to all occupants. Next, electrical safety.
That'd be the same.
That would be the manager. But if they didn't do it, you are supposed to check as well. So don't you can't, it is their responsibility, but you're kind of both responsible.
Yeah.
So you've got worth checking that. Fire safety, again, technically, it would be the manager, the rent-to-renter. So yeah. You're responsible for that. With fire safety as well, with serviced accommodation, they have just gone a bit stricter on the rules. So here's a few that I'll give you off the top of my head. One is you've now got to have a thumb turn lock for the front door.
Okay, yeah.
Reason being, if you've got a key.
Oh, yeah, and then you can't open the key. Yeah, you're a bit screwed. That makes sense, to be fair.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because I think that's it. Like, what a stupid invention, the key lock, like that, to get out.
What a stupid invention, the key lock? The key lock, it's a bit harsh, and the key is a tremendous invention.
Well, it's not, because that is the point. Like, what about if you're stuck and you can't get out your own house because you've lost your key?
To be fair, though, what you normally do when you lock it, you leave the key in the door, don't you?
Yeah, but what about if the kid takes it? It's true.
So thumb turn. All right, we can slag off the key. I like the key. We're not slagging off the key
on this show. I'm slagging off the key.
The key is amazing. No. But I do like the thumb turn for the door. Here's another one. Fire doors, fire safety doors.
Yeah.
Across the escape route. In a HMO, all the doors need to be fire safety doors. You're supposed to have that. You're supposed to have emergency lighting.
Yeah.
In case of fire and the electrics go.
Maybe I'm just OTT because my dad's a fireman. And he's like, drilled it into me, fire safety. So now I'm like, really?
Do you know what counts as emergency lighting? You might have noticed this. If you've been to a hotel, hang up a torch in the room, emergency lighting.
No. So, it is, but that'd be just there getting your torch out.
Fire alarms, smoke alarms, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff you need to have. I would recommend not using this podcast for a conclusive guide to fire safety. Although there's some good points in there, but go and check it out if you've got a HMO, if you've got service accommodation, and you're supposed to have a fire safety check as well. You can do it yourself, but it probably makes more sense because what you don't want to do, and this is where you would go to prison, if you mess this up and there was a fire and someone died, you would be...
Yeah, this isn't just a, you're going to be sitting in the
prison. This would be a what you're in for.
Yeah. Obviously, there's always the odd freak thing where nothing can be done. But I generally would feel absolutely awful.
Yeah, if you knew you were supposed to put a thumb turn, didn't, it was a fire, someone died, and it's because they lost the key.
You'd feel awful, wouldn't you?
You would.
So I think the fire safety rules are in place for a reason, and I just think just do it, because if anything ever did happen, you know.
EPC, that's the landlord's duty. You've got to get the EPC done. You can't market it or even rent it out at all without that. No. So you need that. Smoke, carbon monoxide checkers. You need to have those, test them. That's the rent-to-renters.
Yeah.
And then obviously the licensing we talked about. So the actual person responsible for the license is whoever's named as the license holder. So it would usually be the rent-to-renter if they control the property and they set it up as a HMO. But possibly it could be the landlord. So they're the main stuff that you could potentially could break the law on. For me, the big lesson here is, number one, let's look at it from a rent-to-renter's perspective. Rent-to-rent, if you've not got money to invest in property right now, rent-to-rent is a tremendous business where you can make a lot of money. I particularly like serviced accommodation, but I know a lot of people do it very well with HMOs. A lot of people do it very well with social housing. Any of those three strategies work very well. It kind of depends on your personal preference and what you like managing, what you like doing. You make an awful lot of money from other people's properties. It's a brilliant strategy. But don't be one of those people that gives it a bad rep. Treat it respectfully. Yep. Treat it like a business. Get your compliance done. Make sure it's all set up properly. Make sure people aren't dying in fires in your property, which would not be ideal.
But it's like anything, isn't it? I think... any part of property, you've got the big guys, then you've got people, the middle guys that are just normal, your normal Joes that have got big portfolios but are doing it really well. And then you've got the people letting the side down that are doing things badly. And basically they give everyone a bad rep.
Mm.
So people think, oh, rent to rent, dodgy. Yeah, because of course there is some dodgy people doing it, of course, like in every area of every business. And there's always, in you know, people doing dodgy versions. And of course in property there is dodgy rent to renters. So, but it's a shame because actually it is a fantastic strategy and it has been wrecked slightly. Its reputation has been damaged by people not doing it properly.
Yeah. And if you're a landlord, it's also really good because you do have guaranteed rent, long-term contracts, no tenants' rights. Property is probably going to be cleaned 3 or 4 times a week. They might even refer the property for you. There's lots and lots of pros, but make sure they know all this stuff.
Yeah.
Have a checklist. Make sure they're using the correct contract. Make sure that they know about the HMO licensing and that make them show you that they're getting it. I would do reference checks on them. Make sure they've got other money going through the business. It's not just one business for yours.
Yeah.
There's a few things like that just to be careful. But at the end of the day, a tenant could not pay.
Yeah.
This renter could not pay. And at least with this contract, bang, you can kick them out.
Yeah.
So probably the contract and the legal, getting the legal stuff correct is probably the most important thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if I met them and you vibe with them and you like them and it's their first property and you want to take a bit of a punt on them, do it. But I'd probably maybe just charge a bit more in rent to compensate for my risk. It's all risk and reward, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I think it's a fantastic strategy. Would you say, if you were doing another one now, would you go SA or HMO or social housing? Social housing.
So if I... Social housing...
What do you think at the moment is the most profitable one
to do? Let's look at the pros and cons. I think social housing is the most passive. Social housing is like...
Social housing's a...
It's just totally passive.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. But maybe not the most profitable. I think rent-to-rent serviced accommodation
is probably the
most profitable in the right area.
Yeah.
Social housing is the most passive and super, super easy. HMO...
They're a bit harder to run HMOs, I feel.
HMO is my third choice. Yeah, I'd go service accommodation, social housing, HMO. You could probably make a bit more money with HMOs than...
Yeah, I'd say probably HMOs. Now, they can be genius because when I say they're harder, if you got 5 nurses into your HMO right near the manor in Warsaw, job's a good one. And they all work there for the next 5 years, that's probably the best and easiest. That's easier than SA. People coming, going, getting the cleaners in. I just find it never... You can stumble on some like that.
Tend to have pains, don't you?
Yeah, and there's a lot of coming, going, so-and-so fell out. Yeah, I think you either...
Do you know what, though? I think we are... And I love HMOs still, but a tiny bit tainted because we had so many cheap HMOs that we managed.
Yeah.
If you think of the good ones that we had... They were nowhere near as much. We had so many cheap landlords in really cheap areas who had really cheap... And then, of course, that attracts worse tenants. Whereas our serviced accommodation is all high-end.
Yes.
We attract high-end.
You think, oh, everyone's really reasonable. Everyone's really nice. No one does anything. Oh, the HMOs, everyone trashes it. But I suppose that is the difference, isn't
basically,
it?
What we're saying is we don't like poor people. And on that bombshell... It's time to end. I'm Russell Leeds.
I didn't say that, and I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.